Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the broadcast. August 21st, 2022. Greetings, everyone. We are live and the barrage, the onslaught continues of events that are leading to this crescendo that we see building. You know, these next few months appear to be a real doozy of what's coming. So, over the weekend here in Springfield, Missouri, which is a couple hours away, probably about 3 hours away from me, the Moment of Truth Summit with Mike Lindell and a bunch of these folks, you know, the Trumpian kind of Zio-Christian forces, had this big summit, and they, Laura Logan, I guess, who's behind the Selection Code movie, I watched most of it today. It's only about an hour. You can find it all over BitChute, this documentary about, you know, voting machines, their history, and they really zero in on this lady, the county clerk from Mesa County, Arizona, and what happened to her and all this stuff. So it's kind of interesting. And, you know, I was watching C-SPAN, hell, probably in my 20s. And they had a lot of stuff about voting machines back then, and how a guy designed a voting machine to where it tabulates. There was a black guy, and it tabulates the votes internally, but it also spits out a copy of the ballot. And I still remember this guy mysteriously was killed, you know, for later tabulation. You would want this, whatever was recorded on the machine, to reflect the exact same thing that would be recorded via paper ballot. And that's really, and there's still all kinds of skullduggery that happens, and especially these big, you know, corrupt political machine cities like St. Louis and Chicago and New York and so forth. So this, I sent myself this article. This was on Gateway Pundit. This is why the Democrats are not worried about 2020. Basically 2022 coming up. The fix is in. Postal Service institutionalizes ballot interference scheme with new mail-in ballot division. So, you know, a major part of their election scheme is the work done by the U.S. Postal Service with mail-in ballots. Okay. So, anyway, it's just, so Mark Elias, the, you know, this character, the U.S. Postal, this is his tweet, U.S. Postal Service creates a new dedicated division to handle election mail. The Election and Government Mail Services is part of an effort to effectively deliver mail-in ballots to voters and elections offices in advance of the 2022 midterm elections. So, as we know, you know, we're in the end of August now. We've got a couple months here before this all goes down. So as I played weeks ago, various people thinking somehow there's going to be an event, some sort of a catastrophic event. It doesn't necessarily have to be, let's say, bio-related, but it could be. You know, we're seeing the buildup with the monkeypox, and now they're throwing out this tomato thing floating around. I mean, it's just so over the top. But so these little kids are breaking out with these, what looks like kind of a measles type tomato deal, tomato something. But, you know, this is where we are. So the possibility of something you know, doctors warn about very contagious tomato flu virus detected in children. Tomato fever or tomato flu. It's emerged in the Indian state of Kerala. So far, 82 children of the age, blah, blah, blah. But this is kind of like this buildup we're seeing to something. And, you know, I'm looking at this executive order that 14607 about the central bank digital currencies, and a lot of people are talking about these IRS agents kind of, let's just say, going to be activated for reasons of some sort of reset of the economic system. And, you know, what's crazy is Executive Order 14607, which I have pulled up here somewhere. Let's see. But anyway, I got so many tabs open. But it's basically was signed March 9th, 2022. Now, the Emergency Banking Act was signed March 9th, 1933. Very, very interesting. Okay, so I got federalregister.gov up. And it was signed March 9th, ensuring responsible development of digital assets. Okay, and it gets into protecting consumers, investors, and businesses, and, you know, all this stuff. And then it goes into coordinating through all of these attorney general, SecDef, SecTrez, all these people to all get together and, you know, put this stuff together within so many months, to present to the president within 180 days of the order, blah, blah, blah. They're going to submit to the president a report on the future of money and payment systems, including the conditions that drive broad adoption of digital assets, the extent to which technological innovation may influence these outcomes, blah, blah, blah. Potential implications of United States central bank digital currency based on the possible design choices for national interest. Oh, sure. And, you know, you really get into this possibility of this social credit score, and everybody's talking about this. Very, very fascinating. So, Mr. Producer, get clip six ready. We're going to run this one in a second. And it kind of goes into this, and we'll see how this kind of transpires. But you could have these various kind of coalescing events that all happen simultaneously, kind of like these stock trades happening right before 9/11, and then this big boom, and then you had 2008 with the TARP crap and everything else, to where they do these, they've been doing these mini crazy resets and so forth, and now it looks like they're building up to the final one. So March 9th, 1933 was the emergency banking stuff, and now March 9th, 2022, Obadung signs into you know, this executive order about this central bank digital currency stuff. Let's go ahead and listen to clip six.
All right, this is important news, August 17th, 2022. We got a link below. It's going to be armed IRS agents training at Dixie State University. Be sure to view that link. And then this is going to be talking about a very similar topic. Executive Order 14067 will begin eliminating cash in the United States, deciding in December this year. This new digital currency can be programmed to allow certain expenditures, disallow others, and easily tied to social credit scores, a.k.a. lifelong slavery. They can control what you spend. They can turn your money off. They don't like what you're doing or what you're saying or what you're thinking. The 87,000 new IRS agents were most likely hired to get this digital system in place and functional. Don't let it happen, folks. You have been warned. Links will be below. Like, share it.
You know, everybody that's a whole lot of people are saying, start using cash, you know, use it for as much as you can. Always carry cash. Protect what little privacy you have left. All right. Think about it. All these people, and I've gone on about this for years, talking about these idiots that I see at Quick Trip and these, you know, gas station convenience stores where they go buy a cup of freaking coffee and a donut, and then they swipe their card, they put in their PIN into the card, and then they don't, you want a receipt? Nope. I mean, we got some real idiots in this country, and they're gonna march us headlong into this enslavement. But check out that March 9th, 1933, and then the March 9th, 2022. That's not a coincidence. So this is areweareallyeducated.com, the bankruptcy of the United States in 33. A lot more happened than just the confiscation of people's gold. The following is an excerpted from Judge Dale's The Great American Adventure, Secrets of America. On March 9, 1933, House Joint Resolution 192-10 by the 73rd Congress was voted into law, which is the Emergency Banking Act. This act declared the Treasury of the United States bankrupt, which is an impossible feat since the U.S. Treasury was secretly closed by the Congress 12 years earlier. In 1921, the Emergency Banking Act succeeded in abrogating America's gold standard and hypothecated all property found within the United States Board of Governors to the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Bank. All sovereign American citizens residing within the Republic of States suddenly and falsely were expatriated from their sovereign American status without their knowledge or consent, and their labor, souls, children, property, sweat, equity, and credit became the financial collateral for the public debt, which had then been converted into a public trust, which had been scripted after the ancient Roman trusts. Script, money, or negotiable debt instruments was issued by a private corporation which is owned by a group of Sabbatean European Jewish bankers and which is known to everybody as the Federal Reserve System. These promissory notes were called Federal Reserve notes and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into all this. But, you know, the 14th Amendment comes in. It starts tinkering with our status. And then in 33, it really got, you know, the nail driven in the coffin and what this really kind of appears to be. And it gets into President Roosevelt closing the Virginia Colony Corporation and opened a new government corporation called the United States Incorporated. And it gets all into this. Areweareallyeducated.com, bankruptcy of the United States in 33. So, move on to clip 10, Mr. Producer. This is Joe Rogan a while back with Majid Usman Nawaz. He's a Brit, obviously a Muslim guy or, you know, of that culture. But he really nails it home, and I might even have played this months back, but it's worth listening to again. This kind of piggybacks on the last clip I played. And this is what's happening with the public exchequer over there in England. And he basically says this is the most third powerful guy, allegedly, in the government. And, of course, he's wearing a yarmulke. But go ahead and play clip 10.
Do you feel like you're sounding the alarm?
Yes.
For people that don't understand what the f*** is going on?
So, here, I'll put it up for you here, yeah? So there's the video.
Yeah.
I don't know if your camera can see that, but...
No.
There's the video. There's him speaking about it.
The G7 is launching a set of public policy principles for retail central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Central bank digital currencies could be a digital version of money, a bit like a digital banknote that could be used alongside physical notes and coins. Unlike most of the digital money people use daily today, it would be issued directly by a central bank, like the Bank of England in the UK.
Great. Right, so that's the guy who runs our economy in the UK. His name's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And here is the article. Bank of England tells ministers to intervene on digital currency programming. Yeah? And here's a quote from the article. This is in the Telegraph, the one he pulled up. Okay. But it was behind a paywall, so I'll just read the quote. Digital cash could be programmed to ensure it is only spent on essentials or goods which an employer or government deems to be sensible.
Holy
I'm going to take it one step further for you, Joe, right? So... the vaccine passport infrastructure is in place. But now we know that the vaccine doesn't stop infection or transmission, but the Checkpoint Charlie exists everywhere. They bring in digital banking, central banking digital currencies. You've got a scenario now that you're checking in and out everywhere you go using vouchers that are programmed and you can only spend where you're told you can spend them. There's another word for that, man. That's called the Chinese social credit system. That's what it's called. And anyone who watches Black Mirror will know what I'm talking about. That's that TV show, right?
Yeah.
So what they are telling us, and when I say they, who's they? People in power. That's the head of our economy, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, second most powerful person other than the Prime Minister and maybe the Foreign Secretary in the UK, right? He's telling us, I just played it there for you. He's telling us that's what he, as the UK, the head of the G7, want to bring in for the G7. So a scenario where, like in New York at the moment, because the passport infrastructure is in place, you bring in that digital currency and you've got this total control. And if I'm speaking to you the way I'm speaking now, and my employer or government, you heard that in the quote directly, yeah, deems me as saying or doing something inappropriate, suddenly I can't actually pay to come here and speak to you anymore. My digital currency won't even pay for the ticket because it will be known that I'm coming to speak to you. Sorry, your vouchers don't allow you to purchase that ticket to go and speak to Joe.
It's also another book or recommended TV.
That was Harari recommending a TV series, Black Mirror, and that's on Netflix, and I've never watched it, but I've kind of got the gist of it. Just sick stuff. Total control, World Economic Forum, goons, all this stuff, and they want to hire a bunch of digital information warriors to scrub the internet of anything they don't like. So, you know, what we've got to do is think about this. You've got the, you know, and I was at the cemetery today. My mom and I were driving by and checking out my dad's gravesite because we're going to be putting a tombstone there, and we're looking at how well the land has settled since he died in January. It's still not, you know, but I'm looking at all of these fresh graves. And I'm driving by these, there's three cemeteries in very, very close proximity. And I've been talking about this, and there's more fresh graves. More than it seems is normal. Now, I don't hang out in cemeteries, but my gosh, all the piles of freaking dirt is insane. So we've got the vax die-off, it seems. You know, you've got these Super Bowl guys, this Riddick, what's his name? He became a high school principal, and he's dead at 49. A bunch of these 20-somethings. I mean, you read about more and more and more people dying in these strange kind of, you know, it's very eerie to see these articles on a daily basis of all these people dying. So let's talk about, well, let's talk about the CDC reorganizing. Okay. So if you want to get clip 8 ready, Mr. Producer, this is Del Bigtree, and this is a very short one, but he kind of hits the point home. Let's go ahead and roll that one.
There is only one story everyone is talking about, and so are we. It's this.
This morning, a sweeping reorganization of the CDC is underway after the agency's director offered a stunning rebuke of its COVID response.
Millions of people have died because of the mistakes made by these people. I assure you that this shakeup is going to try and figure out how they lock us down better. Mark my words, out of this, what they'll say the big mistake was, they didn't act soon enough. They didn't act hard enough. They didn't bring in essentially martial law to make sure that nobody could move or breathe. The CDC is a disaster. They've got it dead wrong, and they've had it dead wrong the whole time. But really, when we look at this story, I suppose we could say, oh, great, they're finally admitting it. But they're admitting it for one reason. They don't want an investigation. They want to investigate themselves. I mean, what kind of shakeup is there going to be when it's being driven by, you know, Rochelle Walensky, Tony Fauci, all of these other people that have created the very problem we find ourselves in the middle of? I mean, this is a joke. It's been a joke from the beginning, except millions of people have died because of the mistakes made by these people. I assure you that this shakeup is going to try and figure out how they lock us down better. Mark my words, out of this, what they'll say the big mistake was, they didn't act soon enough. They didn't act hard enough. They didn't bring in essentially martial law to make sure that nobody could move or breathe.
All right, you can stop that there. So Big Tree's basically saying, hey, look, they're going to do a reorganization, all right, people, but they're going to go further towards China. And where, you know, this, what was it, an IKEA store recently where they're testing animals, fish, and all. I mean, remember they were swabbing people's rear ends? I mean, this is an exercise in psychological dominance of the CCP over the citizens. This is mind games. This is operant conditioning, you know, hard at the hardest level. What a Milgram experiment on the enforcer class in China to make them just do the most sadistic things to people and animals. I mean, heck, a decent swath of them torture dogs alive and eat them anyway. I mean, look at these wet markets. I mean, this is a whole nother level of weird culture to where you could treat animals with such just brutality, you know, barbecuing these dogs a lot. I mean, just, you know, I've talked about this where it just drives you berserk to even think about it and makes you go to a real dark place. It really, really does. But yeah, so we'll see what happens with this CDC shakeup. Okay. I mean, come on. Let's talk about Nikita Khrushchev and this Khrushchev prophecy. Now, I had that show last week where I really didn't get to a bunch of the stuff that I had pulled up. So some of this is last week's stuff, but this was real good. If you want to get clip 13 ready, Mr. Producer, this one, you know, it really hits home about how people can like them or hate them, evil or good. Some of them have a very keen sense of what's going to go down in the future. And due to the fact that in years past, people didn't have access to information to where, you know, people way back in the 50 years ago and 60 years, they didn't know what the hell Khrushchev was necessarily saying, because look at, you had what, 4 or 5 sources of media totally tightly dominated by Washington that got out to the people. But let's listen to clip 13. Go ahead. This one. It was 13. It was Khrushchev. Yeah.
Wake up, New Zealand, before it's too late. Remember Khrushchev's prediction? This is a sobering reminder. It's almost 62 years since Russia's Khrushchev delivered this. Many of you may not remember his quote or even were alive when Mr. Khrushchev of the Soviet Union made his remarks. On September 29, 1959, here was his entire quote. Your children's children will live under communism. You Americans are so gullible. No, you won't accept communism outright, but we'll keep feeding you small doses of socialism until you finally wake up and find you already have communism. We will not have to fight you. We will so weaken your economy until you will fall like overripe fruit into our hands. The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not. Ian goes on, remember socialism leads to communism. So, how do you create a socialist state? There are 9 levels of control. Read the following recipe. 1. Healthcare. Control healthcare and you control the people. 2. Poverty. Increasing the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them. 3. Debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes and this will produce more poverty. 4. Gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way, you're able to create a police state. 5 is welfare. Take control of every aspect, food, housing, income, of their lives, because that will make them fully dependent on the government. Education. take control of what people read and listen to and take control of what children learn in school. Religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools because the people need to believe in only the government knowing what's best for the people. Class warfare. Divide the people into wealthy and the poor. Eliminate the middle class. This will cause more discontent and will be easier to tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. And number 9, control the media. Not much left for our comrade Jacinda to do. As I read through each point, I realized, while I was reading, just how far we have followed that road. It really is quite devastating. I leave it with you.
All right, you can stop there, but it just, you know, when you see this and you review it, it just gets you to the point where you're like, my gosh, we have so many willing traitors, and then they're useful idiot minions that you hope that you do your best. You know, that's why I'm sitting here behind this microphone right now, to try to expose this grand, evil, diabolical plan. And look, some of the richest people in the world love communism. The people, they get lost in this minutia. They think, well, how would these big capitalists, how would they be behind communism? Because they're going to be exempt from the system, you dummies. They're going to be sitting on top and outside of the rules of the system that all of us are going to have to follow. That's why they love communism. And it's just, you know, the simplicity. It's the most effective way to efficiently fleece the goyim, what they view as their subjects, their pets, their cattle, which they think is the most efficient fleecing mechanism, is a communist sort of state, the, you know, control of all facets of everything. Now, look, can that sustain a population? No, but they don't care anyway. They don't need, listen to Harari's goofy butt, they don't even think they need anybody hardly anymore due to automation. You know, the Bill Joy Sun Microsystems guy with that "the future doesn't need us" document that people were reading, what, 10, 15 years ago. This is what they believe, a lot of them. And some people come off the reservation and they expose this, and the many others, they'll go along willfully, right along with the plan, and thinking that it's not going to eat them up. It's not going to consume them because they're a nice little docile servant of this evil, diabolical plan. And then one day they wake up, if they're lucky enough to wake up, and then they realize, I was played too. I thought I was elite. I thought I was part of the club. And then guess what? They'll be in the gulag. Or they'll be liquidated, just like everybody else. And so these are the kinds of things that, you know, you got to reinforce in your mind and realize that, you know, we're right here in the cusp of something very huge. You know, I can't put my finger on it yet, but there's something. There's going to be a catalyst. Now, I see we're coming up on break in a second, but you know, there's going to be a catalyzing event similar and much bigger, probably, than 9/11. And it might have to do with this nuclear plant in the Ukraine and some sort of an event surrounding that. We'll see. We'll see on the other side of the break. I'm rolling on, and it's no place you wanna go. You see, I'm not like all the rest. Some may question my line of work, but I've got a family, and I feed them off of death. There's some work all over this town. You need the stomach full. There's some folks who pay my skills I'm knowing for.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
It's time to double down. I'm Peter Serafine, and yesterday's Liberty Minute ruffled some feathers, so I'm going all in today. If I take out a loan and make a bad investment, I still have to pay back the loan. Real estate, business, stocks, crypto, the investment doesn't matter. So why should student loans be an exception? College is an investment. You choose to go to college. You select your course of study. You pick the school. You decided to take out the loan. You are responsible. Oh, but the school lied. Or my advisor was horrible. Yeah, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry. But it's still your debt. And your debt is your responsibility and only your responsibility. I am tired of my hard-earned tax dollars going to bail out the bad decisions of banks, businesses, or individuals. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pashem Parabellum.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Casting on Speak Free Radio. Welcome, everyone. So let's talk about Dark Winter. Could it be 2022? It very well could be, with all of the weirdness kind of coalescing right now. You know, famine, the possibility of famine. You know, you got old Mayor Khan over there in London talking about the people in Britain are not going to be able to eat or heat their domiciles or what have you. A lot of apocalyptic, very dark, let's just say, language floating around now about this winter. Now, last winter, you know, we were wondering what was going to go down. It didn't really materialize, but we've got this bombing of, you know, Alexander Dugin's daughter, allegedly, happening over there near Moscow, okay, on the outskirts. And so, you know, I figured it would be all over on Sorcha Fall, whatdoesitmean.com, due to the fact that they're always using Russian Kremlin type of sources that they quote. And so this is kind of interesting. So coming during the same fortnight, CIA operative Dan Rappaport was suicided in Washington, D.C., and top Republican Party lawmaker U.S. Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, along with Hollywood actress Anne Heche, were killed by what's believed to be a CIA murder device. You know, Anne Heche was driving a British Mini Cooper, which I find interesting. You know, a lot out here on that. People are saying, oh, it didn't happen. We saw pictures of her afterward. I mean, there's so much out here. But, you know, Heche was in this Toxic Skies film about geoengineering and spreading disease. And then also in this kind of an anti-trafficking, human trafficking film coming out and all this. So people tied that to like Chester Bennington from Linkin Park and Chris Cornell from Audio Slave and Soundgarden and everything and their deaths. And, it's pretty interesting the webs that people weave with some of these narratives. So this Land Cruiser explosive device and so forth, you know, so, you know, frequent high-profile contributor of disinformation in relation to Ukraine and the Russian invasion of Ukraine on various online platforms. And that's the Western version. All right. So they were at this traditions festival where a father was given a lecture on metaphysical dualism of historical thinking. And they're claiming that, you know, this whole Putin's philosopher thing, ideological force behind the fourth political theory that guides the Russian Federation and you know, and he wrote a treatise, Russian Code, outlined the existential battle between Russia and the godless Western colonial powers. So he says this, by engaging in direct confrontation with the West during the special military operation, even though the West itself participates through its Ukrainian proxy structure, which cannot be called a country, Russia is forced to defend its sovereignty on all levels in terms of military, economic, and formal policy. This is quite obvious, but the West is much more than a political, military, economic structure. It is a civilization with a fundamental program code. Everything else is derived from this code, weapons, economy, politics, culture, education, science, media, etc. Russia is now forced to confront the whole spectrum and, in general, the Western code itself. Now, a lot of people are, you know, making various, you know, people have various theories on who carried this out. So over on Daily Stormer, on RT, they're claiming Kiev has nothing to do with the assassination of Daria Dugin, the daughter of Russian political commentator and philosopher Alexander Dugin. So Mikhail Podolyak said that this country is not a terrorist state as an apparent response to suspicion voiced by Russian and allied forces officials that Kiev might be behind the bombing. Well, I would guess more or less probably Mossad, CIA, MI6, the Zio-American English Axis that would do this in order to try to trigger a response. So that's, you know, Ukrainians and Western Ukraine democracy believers are celebrating the assassination on the internet. It does not make them look less guilty. You can read this all. But, you know, it's hard to say this right now with it just happening, and you got to let these things, people dig into this stuff and really kind of flesh this out. But what it appears to be, my initial reaction is, who here in this country really knows who Dugin is? It is the alternative media people. He's been on Alex Jones. He's been, on various kind of alternative media platforms. This whole Nazi Bolshevik thing, the Nazi Bowl movement he was involved in. You had Matt Heimbach and all these characters, the traditionalist youth type people, kind of like your, like all the people that assembled at Charlottesville, whether they're shills or not, a bunch of those people, they all know who Dugin is, or, you know. And so it's almost like a provoking of everybody that pays attention, okay? And people that, I guess you could say, more in the pro-Russia camp, that are kind of like, look, Russia is not the bad guy here. And there's tons of these people in the alternative media. And, you know, I kind of lean that way a little bit. But at the same time, I realize that this country of Ukraine is being leveled and cleared out. All these people that have been turned into refugees and have went elsewhere, and this real Khazaria 2.0 thing really sticks in my craw. And I don't know. We'll have to see how this plays out. Syrian girl basically says, woke to the awful news that Daria Dugina has been assassinated via car bomb. Her father, Alexander Dugin, was on the scene. They murdered the young woman just to get to her father. That is the nature of our enemy. I can no longer stay silent. Such an escalation will not be forgiven. And then other people are saying, no one I talked to in Russia's national security establishment gave Dugin any weight. Most had never heard of him. He was far more famous in the West than he was influential inside the Kremlin. This car bombing wasn't a message to Russia. It was a performance for America. I don't know. You know, I don't know Russian politics the way others think they do. I don't know how close Dugin's ideas mesh with Putin's ideas and so forth and so on, and then and people in the Duma and everything else. I just don't know. But it seems like this would probably be, I don't really think the Ukraine really has the infrastructure to probably carry out something like this. It really smacks of an intelligence agency, you know, or operation here. Now, some mainstream media on over here in our United States are saying that Putin and Dugin pulled this as a false flag, and she's not really dead, and all this other stuff. And so, you know, this is just so crazy to try to flesh out when you're looking at all this. So. Let's get clip 17 ready, Mr. Producer. And this is and this kind of fits in with kind of where Dabu's going here, with kind of just like his premonition of, because I just see the cascade of events, the rapidity just keeps getting faster and faster, to trying to really get people, like really screwed up in the head concerning everything coming our way. So let's listen to 17 real quick.
What's going on, guys? Dabu 7 here. Checking in. Wanting to talk a little bit about what's unraveling right here in front of us. I foresee a series of staged events that are about to break loose, connected with some of the stuff that we've already seen, all tied in to the stuff around Trump. Them going to his place in Mar-a-Lago, taking 11 sets of what they want to say is classified material. We've since seen several staged events, one being at the FBI headquarters in Cincinnati, where a guy showed up with a weapon. They said that they had a shootout with him. All this other stuff, we have seen no video proof of any of this, of any of these things. They also want to say that a dirty package, an explosive, was to be planted somewhere. Where's the proof, again, besides just saying it? There's never any proof offered up about this. There's never showing us, why didn't you go arrest the person? If you knew that someone was going to do this and you were watching them the whole time, why didn't you stop them? How come that never happens? Huh? How come these guys always seem to have connections back to agents? Well, it seems to me that they've already started the ball rolling. And I would say get ready for a bunch of staged events that are designed to tear this country apart, to send this thing towards civil war, all in all. That's what they want. That's what they're trying so hard to try to get out here. And I got to give it to the people out there that have not fell for their tricks thus far. They keep wanting to fall back on saying that these people are going online, calling for violence, citing January 6th. Again, if you knew who these people were, then why didn't you deal with them? It's hard for me to believe that alphabet gangs that sit there and monitor social media 24/7 around the clock don't have the ability to do that when they're out here harassing everyone else constantly about their social media posts. How come you can't catch these guys until it's too late? Hmm? Well, that's because something is afoot. And I'm warning all of you right now. We're walking in to a new paradigm where these staged events are going to go to a whole new level. They're going to start targeting people, saying they're extremists, they belong to this group, all that stuff. Here it comes. I warned about it years and years ago. We're there now. So, get ready, y'all. I'll update with more future videos. Stay tuned. Hit that subscribe button for more, and hit that bell notification.
All right. So, that's... You know, I kind of have that same premonition that this is... I think that even before these so-called midterm elections, I think that we're in August 21st, so we're, you know, a couple months and a couple weeks away from this, and so it's not going to slow down. There's something up their sleeve, just like 9/11 was right around the corner. Like, and you're sitting here on, you know, September 6th, 2001, and it was five days away. I kind of have that same sense in my soul that there's something right around the corner here that's going to disrupt everything and really try to move us towards this whole goal of the AI, the monitoring, the internet of bodies, the central bank digital currency, the social credit, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what it is. Don't know whether it's some crazy, the next, you know, as Bill Gates talked about, the next one will get people's attention type thing, or whether it's something else, some sort of a massive synthetic terror attack, concerning nuclear material, or, you know, something of this nature, chemical. We'll see. So this character, William J. Burns, this CIA director that we've got. So he was in the Foreign Service, 32 years as a diplomat, okay? And he retired in 2014 from the Foreign Service. And then he served as president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Now, they are very – we all know that this is a very global thinking and pushing goofy, you know, world Marxism, basically communitarian, whatever you want to call it, onto the peoples of the earth. All right. This big endowment by the big magnate, Mr. Carnegie. But he served as the ambassador of the Russian Federation from 05 to 08. Okay. But here's his story. And I was looking at his early life and education. So he was born at Fort Bragg. And his father was William F. Burns, who was a United States Army Major General, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Arms Control, Director of the United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency. Interesting. And so let's see. He was a Marshall Scholar, okay? Postgraduate scholarship for intellectually distinguished young Americans and their country's future leaders to study at any university in the UK, one of the most prestigious scholarships with U.S. citizens. So he went to Oxford, just like the Rhodes Scholars. He's a Marshall Scholar. Kind of interesting there. Now, let me find this. Okay, so this was on Gateway Pundit earlier in the week. CIA Director Burns was surrounded by communists in his prior job, joins prior CIA directors and Obama lackeys with ties to communists. And so surrounded himself with CCP members in his last position at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Then again, Obama CIA director had connections to communism, so what could go wrong? So Newsmax reported that Biden's head of the CIA surrounded himself with Chinese party members in his position before taking over the CIA. The D.C. think tank, Carnegie Endowment, employed at least 20 undisclosed Chinese Communist Party members, CCP members, a Daily Caller News Foundation investigation has discovered. Expert profiles on Carnegie's website, however, do not disclose the ties of these individuals to the CCP. And they only got through this after going through hundreds of Chinese language Communist Party branch records and personnel files for more than a dozen groups linked to the CCP. Burns' term as head of Carnegie from 2015 to 2021 coincided with a higher state of concern from the FBI regarding the CCP carrying out malign influence operations against key American institutions. So that's just kind of interesting, and I'm not going to go into that any further, but this is the guy running our CIA now, and it just kind of lets, you know, it's just a little bit more enlightening, the fact that, you know, all of these organizations of ours are a bit cross-penetrated and so forth and so on. So let me see here. So, you know, this judge, this Jewish judge that signed off on this raid on Trump, the guy with the huge beak. Now they're saying his synagogue can't meet because of all these threats. You know, the DOJ's requesting that this affidavit not be released, or but then some judge is saying, well, we're going to release it, but it's going to be redacted. This whole team, this whole FBI team that was in on the raid allegedly was the same people running the Russiagate kind of stuff. The whole thing's really, really just weird. You know, there's a whole slew of people here saying that this was a Trump boost operation, that this was to really give Trump a shot in the arm, so to speak, due to the fact, you know, that he's lagging. You know, with the whole warp speed stuff, Alex Jones just put out an emergency message to Trump to throw the shots under the bus and say he was manipulated. And because right now a lot of people aren't going to support him due to the fallout from these, you know, injections. So we'll see what Trump does in the next few days with the whole warp speed and whether he tries to wash his hands clean of it or not. So we'll, you know, this kind of fascinating to kind of watch this. Now, Peter Strzok. So project. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So Peter Strzok likely is a CIA guy. This all just kind of broke out this week. Huge concerns about Peter Strzok working for the CIA are likely at the heart of the Mar-a-Lago raid. So this gets into could Peter Strzok have worked for both the FBI and CIA or only one entity? If that entity was the CIA, how could Peter Strzok have been fired from the FBI if he never worked for the FBI? These are huge questions. Did the deep state lie to President Trump when they claim they fired Peter Strzok for the FBI because he never worked for them? How could he have been fired from the FBI if he worked for CIA? There's no evidence that Peter Strzok ever worked or served in any FBI field office, nor is there any evidence that he attended the FBI Academy in Quantico. There's no evidence Strzok ever graduated from Quantico. And then we'll kind of finish this on the way back, but it's a perfect example of sheep dipping. You pose as one thing and you actually work for another agency in the federal government. Constantly happens. We'll see you guys on the other side.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.